So I'm a board-certified emergency physician working on the front lines, whether or not there's a pandemic. And when I first heard about this thing coming over from China, that was really around December, I was really attuned to it simply because I'm very interested in health policy. As you heard, I also have a JD from Stanford University up the street. So I'm just the kind of person who's interested in health policy. I think that's why I was like really focused on it really early. I think it's going to be shown that the vaccines are more dangerous, actually, than the virus itself. I don't have proof yet, but there's so much suspicion, and we know that the virus is not lethal to almost anybody. So it's really, really irresponsible that we roll this out really in all of humanity. You've heard about the shedding. So I'm going to give you the facts as best we understand them now. And I want to say that in my shoes, I work very hard not to go down the rabbit hole of things that do not make scientific sense. I'm asked all the time, and I'm pummeled with information all the time that sounds impossible or incredulous, and I actually have to work very carefully. So first, I thought this vaccine shedding was in that category. I was like, this doesn't make any sense to me. But I'm pretty open-minded, right? So I started looking at it. Here's what I know for sure. During the experimental trials, at least with Pfizer, I'm sure Moderna, I just haven't looked it up myself, they actually wrote for the people participating in the trials, the people getting the vaccine could, I don't know if they use the word shed or transmit, to close contacts through inhalation, exhalation, or by touch. So they don't write things unless it's true. Like, you can't just write everything. This was obviously something that the scientists working on the vaccines felt was something they had to say. So that's their words. If you want to see the picture of their words, my Twitter, like 2 or 3 days ago, I posted it. The starting point is that the science supports it. I'm not a bench scientist, so I have to go with what the bench scientist is saying. The bench scientist said there is a potential problem here. In other words, there's a scientific theory that this could happen. When I saw that, like, I had to investigate it. I mean, that's per Pfizer. It was crazy to me. At the same time, I get reports from all over the world, and all over the world, there are people complaining of the vaginal bleeding irregularities. It can't be a coincidence and it can't be a conspiracy because it's everywhere. I've gotten these reports from all over the world. So people that are with people who are vaccinated, women that are with other people that are vaccinated, all over the world are having irregular vaginal bleeding. There's sometimes they're postmenopausal, sometimes they're pregnant and they're bleeding. Sometimes, I don't know if they're causing a miscarriage, but there's a lot of bleeding. I mean, we just have gotten these reports from all over the world. Something's happening. You've got a 75, 80-year-old woman who's all of a sudden bleeding, and our only exposure was, right? So people wanted to discount this in the beginning. I walked the middle road, right? So I didn't jump up and down when I first started hearing about this, but I remembered it. Now I've heard it everywhere, all over the news, like all over the world. Then I started looking into this more, and I'll give you my best theory, understanding it's just a theory. So the way these mRNA vaccines work is they come in a lipid nanoparticle. That's the big fancy like nanoparticle things people talk about, LNP. That's like the boat, okay? The boat is carrying the mRNA. So you get the shot, there's this little lipid nanoparticle boat carrying the mRNA. The mRNA then gets into your cell. The lipid nanoparticle does and the mRNA particle, but the mRNA particle is telling your body what to do. So it tells your body to make these spike proteins. So it hijacks the cell and tells the cell, go make all these spike proteins. Once you've taken the vaccines, it's estimated that you make 13 trillion spike proteins. So the question is, what do these spike proteins do to people? Here's what I know for sure. One, they can attach to cells. There's a study that came out recently that on their own, the spike proteins cause disease, meaning they can inflame airway cells, like in the lungs. The spike proteins themselves also cross the blood-brain barrier. The blood-brain barrier to a doctor is like church and state. That is like, it's sacred, like you don't mess around. I remember flipping out, like personally, when I heard that. So I remember calling up one of my friends just because they make things faster for me. I'm like, who's a real sciencey guy? I'm like, do other vaccines cross the blood-brain barrier? Like, I've never heard this before. He's like, oh, no, no. I'm like, because this sounds insane to me. I can't even process this. Like, the truth is I really am still processing. I'm processing how we've, like, unleashed this thing that can cross the blood-brain barrier, like, onto all of humanity. I can't process it. This is my theory. I think we're entering a time when people should be on ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine regularly, prophylactically. You know, in Africa, people take hydroxychloroquine every week, and they call it Sunday medicine. They just take it every Sunday. And I kind of think that's where we're heading. I feel a tremendous sense of urgency that everyone should have hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin in their medicine cabinet. Because that stuff doesn't hurt you, doesn't create spike proteins, and works no matter what. So I'm actually more nervous if it really does get transmitted very easily amongst people, that people who otherwise, like me, wasn't nervous about this at all, I'm a little bit more nervous now. The easiest way, if you live in America, is you can actually go to our website, americasfrontlinedoctors.org. You can get yourself the drugs. You can get yourself hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. At the top, I think it says, how do I get COVID-19 medicines? They connect you with a telemedicine doctor. It was the number one question I was asked. And remember, I was like, give it to the people. Like, this is the best I could do. I tried for 3 months to make it over the counter. We failed. So just click on that link. You have a telemedicine consult. They will prescribe you the medicine. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to lie. You're just like, I want to have this in the house. Great. Then they mail it to you, and then you've got it. And I actually feel really, really strongly that everyone should have this, because I don't know what the downstream effect is going to be of all the stuff going out there. I personally take hydroxy because it's easier to do, and it's cheaper, and there's always a shortage of ivermectin. Yeah. Yeah. We have a kind of a fun little light article on our website called Variants or Scariants. It's just... It isn't a thing. Even though the media calls it, it isn't a thing. Hydroxy and ivermectin will work no matter what. Really, I'm all about the civil rights. That's really where it's at, right? That's where it's at. So America's Frontline Doctors, our tagline is the trusted name for independent information, but our unofficial tagline is AFLDS is the real ACLU, right? Why the ACLU hasn't stepped into this, it's unbelievable. We're all about the civil liberties. So we're doing two or three different things with America's Frontline Doctors. First, you should know that the support for America's Frontline Doctors has been through the roof. We've grown very, very large. On americasfrontlinedoctors.org, we've set up a few things. One is the legal page. We get tons of questions like, I don't want to wear a mask. What's the rule? And I want to push back. Or I don't want to get a vaccine. What's the rule? My employer is saying I have to. We have on the legal section, masks and the law, vaccines and the law. We want everybody to feel empowered in their life. We can't do the fighting for you, but we've given you the information so you can fight for yourself. And I'm saying that even if you've never gone to a city council meeting, a school board meeting, and even if you're shy and you're scared, you gotta go. You're going to lose your freedom. I don't know what else to tell you, especially in California. Like, it's almost gone completely. For sure, if people get together, they can make a difference. You can certainly make a difference at your local. You can't make a difference in the state right now, but at your local school board, you can. You saw the people in Vail that switched over the whole school board. It can happen. We've seen it 100%. Your kids should not be in masks at school. It's like child abuse. It should not be. Parents, you're like irresponsible. I've got two kids. I would never have allowed that. Done. But if you want to be informed, you've got the legal page, masks and vaccines. That's just be informed so you can go and fight. The next level is if you feel you've got a case that could be paired with an attorney, we're really trying to pair people with attorneys in their state if you want to go to the distance. Okay? Third is we're bringing strategic litigation. This is really, really hard. It's really hard to make a person who's in the middle of a cult, which we have to assume the judges are, because most of America is, to understand, right, to not think that we're crazy. So it's very hard, this strategic litigation. But those are our three levels. People have to fight on their own. If they have a case they think they might want to be paired with a lawyer, we've got that. And then we're doing the strategic litigation. So go to the legal page. Kind of related, but its own section, is the Citizen Corps. We started Citizen Corps at americasfrontlinedoctors.org. Citizen Corps is a way for you to have people in your community that are going to step up and be with you when you have to fight. If you have to go to the school board, you've got your friends. If you want to have five of you go into Target without a mask on, you feel empowered with friends, that's what it is. It is exactly what you make of it. If citizens don't take back their power, I can tell you now you're going to be living in tyranny in China. For sure in California, that's what it's going to be. I'm not saying this for my own amusement. Our backs are against the wall. Everyone here is like, oh, I'm busy, I'm tired, I've got my... Believe me, I was busy before this year. Now I've gotten to a whole different level of busy. And so can everybody. We really are backs against the wall. Everyone here has to fight. You just do. So we've given the tools. Join the Citizen Corps. We just started this maybe 3 weeks ago. I only announced it really at events like this. We already have 2,000 people from across the nation. Like, this thing is going to be big. We're going to be able to take back our freedoms. But you have to step up. And it becomes whatever you want of it. It's really for fun, like have dinner, meet like-minded. You only really need one sort of like activist personality and like 10 others to go along with them, right? You don't have to do anything that's not you. There's always that one person, you know, a little bit like me in the group that like wants to fight. And then there's like six others like, oh, I'll go along because I believe in that, right? That's what it is. It's like that there's people who can write letters. There's people who can just do a dinner party like that. So Citizen Corps. The third, it's new. We started a news division. People are like, well, I don't know what to believe. Okay, so we bring you hard news that's accurate. Right now, it's obviously very COVID-focused, but going forward, I think it's going to get very big. America's Frontline Doctors is really the trusted name for independent information. Everything we get is from donations from the public. We don't take any, and we never will take any corporate interest money, period, end of discussion. We're absolutely in a constitutional crisis, hands down, no question. Yeah. Everything I'm seeing is unbelievably illegal. Bodily integrity, that you can't, you know, we have a right to travel, we have a right to assemble, we have a right to religion, we have a right to speech, of course we're censored. That's what we're working on night and day. So within very short time, I hope no more than 3 weeks at this point, maybe two, we're going to have our first cases filed. We have about four or five that we're planning. It's super important because if people don't fight back, we're going to be living in China soon. What I'm holding on to and what we work towards is that our constitution emerges intact. Please feel free to donate. More importantly, I really want you all to become part of the family. Like, there's over 700,000 people have joined us now, and we're going to build a new way of doing medicine once we can deviate from the legal. Now, why this is all going on, what I think is going on is I think that there's four different interests which are all going in the same direction, which is kind of a new thing for American society. First is the useful idiots. That's the media and most politicians. The second level are the smug intellectuals. That's like Bill Gates. The third level are the like dispassionate profit motive. That's called that big pharma. And the fourth level is the truly nefarious, like George Soros. Right now, for the first time in history, all four are moving in the same leftist direction, and they're able to do it on a worldwide scale, which is also unprecedented. The reason I think it's important to lay them out as four different motives is I think it's pretty hard to stop if you think they all have the same motive. So I don't think Fauci and George Soros have the same motive. I think someone like George Soros or that type is truly evil, truly intense, pure evil, whereas I think Fauci's motivated more by his like smugness and vanity. I just want you to keep those four things in mind. How else do you explain that like Don Lemon like says what he says, like it matches what George Soros says? He's just like a useful idiot. You know what I mean? Like he's going along with the crowd. So just keep that in mind. And in the past, all these forces were not really moving in the same direction. When you think about Big Pharma, I wasn't raised to think Big Pharma was bad. Pharmaceutical companies can do so much good for the world. They really can. We've firmly incentivized them to do bad is what happened. So I don't actually think they're the enemy. I think they were incentivized by Congress to do bad things, and we could incentivize them to do good things. So whereas you couldn't incentivize a truly evil person to do something bad. But looking at all that, understanding people have different motives, Bill Gates has one motive, it's hard to not see depopulation or slavery as the ultimate goal. Because Bill Gates has been very clear about wanting to reduce the population. And when you have things like telling pregnant women to take this thing, it's so not scientific and not sensible. You have to have some other motive. I do think there's like an evil, I do. But I came to that through a really like scientific analysis of how bizarre this is. So we kept hearing about this fat market, right? I was like, I just remember thinking that sounded like really kind of sketchy. Because I also, as a doctor, I knew that this was the third respiratory virus that we had gotten from China in 25 years, like pandemic. I was like, I don't really believe that. So I started looking into it. Within 5 minutes, I discovered that within like 4 miles, I think, of the bat market was the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So I'm just saying like how it's hard to believe. So what is the Wuhan Institute of Virology? So the Wuhan Institute of Virology is a biosafety hazard lab level 4. So labs are listed 1, 2, 3, and 4. 1 is like a high school lab, like it's safe and there's not gonna be anything deadly. 2 is the scientists can deal with organisms at level 2, which can be deadly but are really hard to get. Interestingly enough, HIV is a level 2 because it's actually kind of hard to get HIV. So it's deadly, but it's kind of hard. So the HIV is level 2. 3 is things that can kill you or harm you. You can catch them. They're not so hard, not so easy. Like HIV is pretty hard to get, but it's not that hard to get. So level 3 would be like tuberculosis. You can totally catch it. You can catch it more easily than HIV, but that doesn't definitely kill you. Anyway, so that's level 3. Level 4 are pathogens that can kill you and are pretty easy to catch. So SARS-CoV-2 was considered a level 4. By the way, I believe it's gotten weaker over time, which we're interfering with now with the vaccine stuff. But back then it was a level 4. So there's only about 50 biosafety hazard lab level 4s in the world. America, I might be wrong on the numbers, I think America has about 13. Europe, I think, is around the same. Russia has like 1 or 2. I think Japan has 1 or 2. South Korea, I think, has 2. Anyway, China had 0 until 2018. So it's considered a point of national pride for China that they have a biosafety hazard lab level 4. Like it's like, wow, we're in the big leagues now. Now, on China's biosafety hazard lab level 3, where other respiratory viruses were treated, there had been several times that they had safety breaches where the organisms had gotten out. It's well documented. In other words, they're sort of a young country in this way. Like, only a generation ago, they were pretty much backwater. So they're not really sophisticated enough in their safety protocols. So they've had safety breaches at level 3. Now they make level 4. As soon as level 4 opened, I think it was January 2018, they had some safety breaches. So France and America went over to help them, try to help them with their safety breaches. So what do we know for sure? We know that China has a history of having had organisms that escaped from level 3. We know the level 4 lab is brand new and had a safety problem like in the beginning. I think it delayed its opening from January to April in 2018. We know that they said it happened at a back market like 4 miles from this site. So I'm saying, if you were sitting on a jury, do you think it came from a back market? No. So it clearly came from the lab. The question I don't know is if it was man-made or not. What I can say is that people I respect deeply say it's impossible that it was natural. They say scientifically it's impossible. That's all I can say. And I call it the religion of public health. You have to understand that what we're seeing is the birth of a new religion. In this religion, belief is primary. People say things like, I don't believe hydroxychloroquine works. I believe Dr. Fauci wouldn't try to hurt me. It's a belief system. It doesn't matter what the facts are. There's also an urgency in people to convert other people to their side. We've never lived in a time where people had a strong opinion about a prescription medicine. Whoever cared? You're taking Lipitor? You're taking Lipitor? You're taking Adenocard? Oh my God, like take back for a moment. Like, there's this zealousness and fanaticism that's insane, right? So there's this need to convert people to their side. And there's a need to condemn people on the other side. This is a religion. Do you understand? It's a religion. I'm not being funny and cute with my words. I'm saying once you understand that this is like a religious belief that people are having, it makes more sense. Like, oh, you're not going along with the new religion. I get it. You need to see it like that. You need to understand you better damn well protect your constitution or you're going to be in their religion. I'm a daughter of a Holocaust survivor. Just to put this in perspective, this all violates the Nuremberg Code. We have a civil rights paper on our website, the civil liberties issues relating to the experimental COVID-19 vaccines. It's really interesting. It goes from Nuremberg and how we're violating Nuremberg and we're violating all norms of civilized countries. The vaccine passport is the same as the tattoo. It's the same as the Jewish star. Blue eyes, brown eyes, black skin, white skin, fat, thin, tall, short. It's divisive and it's leading to segregation. There was a sign in a church last week someone sent me, vaccinated, unvaccinated. No. Yes. In Israel, there's Israel, it's like that. You can sit here if you're vaccinated, here if you're not vaccinated. How is this different than blacks drink out of this water fountain and whites drink out of that water fountain? It's not. Wake up. This is real. This is here. They're taking away our constitutions. I really don't care if you want to go get vaccinated. That's your prerogative. You can't force it on me, and you can't force discrimination. By the way, vaccine is just an excuse, right? It's just a way to divide. We need our constitution. And then the fourth level of corruption is our government. It was unbelievable that the government got involved at the micro level to tell doctors they can't prescribe hydroxychloroquine. They passed bills, they passed laws on this. The FDA, it's unbelievable. I had a direct conversation with Deborah Birx on the Coronavirus Task Force Committee. I had met with her twice. It was actually kind of by accident. I was there for others, but we ran into her two separate times. The second time I was smart enough to put my phone on voicemail, so I have it on voice, where we said to her, the FDA is acting like, or the public thinks we can't prescribe because it's off-label, can you issue a statement saying that it's fine to prescribe it? And just so you know, off-label, on-label, it means nothing to doctors. It's not anything we talk about. On-label, off-label, for marketing is the phrase. For marketing purposes. The pharmaceutical manufacturer cannot market the drug off-label unless it's been authorized by the FDA. But it can sell it all day and night, and this is commonly done. About 30% of the drugs we use are off-label all the time. I have an antibiotic, it works for pneumonia. I find out it works for urinary tract infections. I use it off-label all the time. Many of you are probably on off-label drugs. If you're taking more than 3 or 4 drugs, one of them is probably off-label. So it was a big fat nothing. So Deborah Birx is a doctor. I said, can you clarify this? I said, because a lot of doctors are running around like they can't prescribe it. Oh no, of course you can prescribe it. But the pharmacy boards won't fill it. They're telling us it's off-label. On tape, I have her saying, well, then the doctor should just write it for malaria. So I didn't even catch it when she said it. And then the person with me, there were 6 of us standing around, 5 of us were doctors, one said, did Deborah Birx just tell us to lie? Like, It was, I honestly didn't even process it when she said it. I'm like, huh, yeah, I think she did. It was just weird. Like, it's just a weird response from the government, from the person on the coronavirus task force meeting. Wow, that's the official policy. Okay, all right. What do I do with that? So one thing that helps me when it's overwhelming and dismal is remembering that this is not new. Our founding fathers well knew that epidemics were a fantastic way to control people. It's actually written in a lot of their papers, because epidemics give the executive branch too much power. People panic, they say to the king or the president, take this power, the governor, take this power, because, you know, we don't know what to do, we don't know what to do. Unlike a hurricane or unlike a war, when people have something to focus on or ways to help each other to volunteer, epidemics are silent, they're stealth, they require you to listen to a government authority about what to do to get permission. They're an excellent way to take power. Our founding fathers wrote about this, and this is one of the reasons for the basis of the Bill of Rights, is they knew that the executive branch gets grubby and greedy. Benjamin Rush was one of the original signers to the Declaration of Independence. He was George Washington's personal physician. He advocated hard for a clause in the Bill of Rights for medical freedom. I'm paraphrasing. He said that the medical man or the doctor has the power to cause tyranny and dictatorship, and that we needed to have protection in the Constitution for medical freedom the same as we had for religious freedom. He didn't win, obviously, because it's not in our Constitution. But God willing, we get through this with our Constitution intact, and we all advocate, if I survive till 2022, after hopefully the Congress is a little more favorable, for a constitutional amendment that would codify Benjamin Rush's beliefs of medical freedom so this could never happen again. I think that's a good place to end, because I'm out of time. Join the Citizen Corps.